giving attention to a portion of the gospel for this day, Mark chapter 8, verses 31 to 33. And he, Jesus, began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not on the side of God, but of men." My dear friends and fellow Christians, I could picture myself being rather amused by the perfect work which Jesus delivered so deservedly to Peter. If it were not for the fact that I find our Lord's word bouncing off Peter and kissing me. Satanic by nature, Christian by grace. That is before the truth about Peter and about us. Explore it with me in terms of the text and its concept. Peter had made that marvelous confession, "You are the Christ," as Matthew chapter adds, "the Son of the living God." By the person who gets the faith in his Lord, Peter has seen Jesus as being none less than that promised anointed one who, by his Father's will and his own consent, was in the office of being the Redeemer of the world, the Savior of men for time and for eternity. Jesus had responded to that fine confession of Peter by saying, as Matthew's record records it, "You are Peter, and on this rock, the unshakable truth of the confession you have made, I will build my church, and the powers of hell shall not prevail against it." Then Jesus proceeded to teach his disciples what the Christ must do so that the church would be built out of him. He said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again." There's nothing new. Today's Old Testament lesson reminds us of some of those very same things which will be true of the Messiah. Note especially that in that lesson, Christ said in prophetic retrospect, "I was not rebellious, I turned not backward." But Peter was rebellious and tried to do the power of hell to stop the Christ and to prevent the church. He began to rebuke Jesus, "God forbid, Lord, this shall never happen to you." Peter is being destructively loved, selfishly loved. And Jesus identified Peter with the original destructive lover and selfish benefactor. "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not on the side of God, but of men." All men are by nature extensions of Satan in his rebellion against God. But then Jesus proceeded to teach the rebuked Peter and all the disciples one of the characteristics of God-like love as compared to Satan-like love. "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Let him engage in that excruciating pain of mortifying his own flesh and denying its innate desires. Let him expose himself to whatever disadvantage or even persecution might come to him for being faithful to his Lord at the hands of men. But let him bear his cross. For as Christ bore the cross for the preparation of salvation, Christians must bear whatever necessary cost for the proclamation of God's salvation as they cling to it in true faith." The details of our Lord's dealing with Peter are lacking, but evidently Jesus restored Peter to the faith which he had confessed that Jesus included Peter as one of the three privileged witnesses of his transfiguration. But just that scene at the transfiguration, Peter tried once again to take the writing of the script from Jesus to himself in wanting to build buildings on that mountain transfiguration in order to extend the duration of that event beyond his Lord's plan. But again, Jesus, in his patient love, agreed. And again, Peter, with the gift the Lord gave him, tried to employ those endowments for silence. By the grace of God, we made Peter's confession. We have seen Jesus with the eyes of faith and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." We see you, Lord Jesus, as being the Son of God from eternity, and in some eternity has agreed with your Heavenly Father in that office which has been placed upon you by His will and your consent to become the washing away of sin for the world and the bringing of life into my Father, that's the life for men. What a fullness of knowledge, what a profoundness of trust has been granted to us by our Lord. But how firm we are to rebuke our Lord as did Peter by declaring things to be more simple and more pleasant than he has thought that they are. Jesus declares that saying, "Lord, Lord," is not enough. But we would like to say that the declaration, "Jesus Christ is Lord," is sufficient to establish a person's Christianity and to identify him as a Christian. Jesus said that we should neither add nor subtract to his teachings, but rather take our thoughts captive in obedience to him, that we could think and say the same thing. But we would like to say that confessional unity is neither necessary nor attainable, and therefore it is quite allowable for us to be very pernicious in the various departures that might occur among us from the teachings of our Lord. Jesus said that a man who does not bite of his tongue makes a false claim to true religion. But we would like to claim true religion and the right to unbridled, uninhibited self-acceptance. Jesus says that he patient person loves and studies every time to meet his need. But we would like to say that physical health is the right and the heritage of the spiritually healthy. Jesus says that the Father will give whatever we ask in his name, that is, in the submission of true faith. But we would like to say that the Father will give whatever we ask. Whenever we try to usurp our Lord's teaching by writing a script of our own, we make his rebuke to Peter, coming as it is, apply to us. At those times, Satan is our name, and we are fighting with the devil and with mankind in general against God. But as he did to Peter and the disciples, so also our Lord does to us. He teaches us the name of true faith. Our Lord's giving of loving faith to us leads us to renounce everything that interferes with following him by total obedience to his teaching. Of whatever price it may be, as we seek by our flesh, of whatever price it may be, as we endure the responses of men to the loving gospel of the Lord. Luther put it this way: whoever is no Christianus, if I may so express it, is also no Christian. That is to say, he who does not bear the cross is no Christian. He is not like his master, Christ. How sinfully often we try to redesign Christ into Christian. But because Christ is Christ, when we confess our sin, he is faithful and just. He forgives our sin and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. For that we seek him in his word, in the sacrament of holy baptism, and the holy supper of his body and blood, knowing that he takes us faithfully, puts us on his side, and promises to keep us there forever. The peace of God, which passes understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ. Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.